I'd like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church in the first worship service for the new year of 2026. I'll be, everybody going yet? But I'll be the first one. I'm double checking here. I even put it right on the bulletin here. I got 2026. So I'd like to welcome everyone here. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. As you can see, we have been blessed once again this last year. We have met our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Each candle represents $100 given to the Lottie Moon. And we have been able to light 15 candles. So we've met our goal of $1,500. And just like to thank everyone that gave this very special offering. I think we need to give God the glory on that. But thank you. Don't forget this Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. is our fellowship meal, and then we'll have church conference. The meal is covered dish, so just bring something, if you would, and meet us here at 6:30, and we'll have the fellowship meal then. And then Thursday, January 15th at 6:30 p.m. is the Grady County Baptist Association men's meeting at Pine Park Baptist Church. Young men and boys, encourage you. You can meet us there at 6:30. Meal will be provided. Or if you want to ride together, just meet us here at 6 o'clock here at the church, and we'll ride over there as a group. Tuesday, January the 20th at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Meeting here at the church. And then Thursday, January the 22nd, at 7 p.m. is our Standing in the Gap men's meeting here at the church. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we open up our worship services with these songs of praise, these hymns of praise today, Lord, that we sing to the glory of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, and that we do just worship Him and Him alone today, Lord. He is the one, as we even discussed in Sunday school, Lord, His kingdom and Jesus is the one that we need to worship and focus on today, Lord. And I just pray as Brother Tim leads us today, Lord, in the message that you have given him, Lord, that we have come with hearts of worship, Lord, that we've taken all just the worries, the anxieties of today, Lord, and being anxious, Lord, that we just realize, Lord, that if we want to get rid of these things, we just need to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, and I just pray that we do that today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah, as you can tell, Brother Carroll is sick today, and so I'm going to invite you to turn to hymn number 215. And if you will stand together with me, and we're going to sing, and I'm going to turn myself off because y'all don't want to hear me say anything.
Thank you.
Next up will be hymn number 438, Heaven Came Down.
Thank you. just hope this is getting one here this morning. So just wondering, Lord, just not sure of anything, Lord. As I just hope today being taken to come to you. Lord, and just being one of the things and things that messages to us. Lord, and let you have open hearts and minds. So I'm going to tell you, Lord, just glorify your name and do your work. And say in Father's name, I pray.
True for everyone here today that you can say it is well with my soul. No matter what you've gone through this past year, what you may go through this year, but to say it is well with my soul. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Galatians chapter 5, we've been studying through the book of Galatians, and we're going to look at a compliment that Paul gives to the Galatians, but then a question that he throws in there with it. But before we get to reading the scripture for today, how many of you have ever started a project that you did not finish? Let's tell the truth. Maybe it was painting a room and you ran out of paint and you never went back and finished it up. Sometimes you get out there and mow the yard and you think you got enough gas, and guess what happens? You run out of gas and you say, well, I'll get some gas tomorrow and finish it up, and it doesn't get done. You start raking the yard and the wind picks up, and as many as you rake up, that many more falls on the ground, and you say, well, what's the use? It may be that you're on your lawnmower and you're almost finished, and all of a sudden the belt on the lower deck breaks. Y'all don't have problems like that, but people like me do, right? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. But you know, that happens in our daily lives. It happens in our marriages. It happens with our families. We have a lot of good intentions, right? But the problem is somebody or something comes along, and what happens? They knock us off track. We've got good intents, good plans. You know, we're prepared as best we could be, and things come along and happen. As we've been studying, we know the Judaizers are those that have come into the churches and say, okay, believe in Jesus. But that's not enough to truly save. If you really want to be saved, you got to do all this other list of things, right? Keep law, circumcision, the holy days, the ceremonies, the rituals, all this kind of stuff, because only then can you truly be saved. They claim that it was not enough to only believe in Jesus. As we look at our passage this morning in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 7, listen to what Paul says. He says, you ran well. That's a compliment, right? You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Fathers, we have read this passage, Lord. I pray today, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, give us wisdom, give us insight, give us discernment to know what the truth is and how to deal with the truth, but then also, Lord, how to deal with the lie. And Lord, as we study this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified and be lifted up, Lord. And once again, I pray, God, that you would just draw us closer to yourself. Lord, help us be assured in who we are in Christ because of what you have done, not based on what we do or have done. Lord, have your ways only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we would probably all say that at one point or time in our lives, we have all been knocked off track. Here we realize that the Judaizers, I don't know why the train always wants to disrupt God's work, amen? The Judaizers, you know, they were the ones coming in and they didn't want you to just believe in Jesus. That seems to be too simple. And we say, well, you know, that was 2,000 years ago. We don't have a problem. That problem today in our churches, oh, yes, we do. Have you ever been to a church that says you got to dress a certain way to be welcome? I have. I grew up, I'm not saying all churches this way. Y'all know I grew up in Independent Baptist Church, and the women wasn't allowed to wear jeans. Had to wear a dress, and it had to be a certain length. Amen? You had to act a certain way, talk a certain way, walk a certain way. And if you didn't, then for some reason they looked at you like you were less spiritual than anybody else. But let me go a step further. Have we ever thought in our hearts and minds when we're sitting in church that we wish somebody wouldn't act or walk or talk or say or do this way or that way? You see, if we say that somebody has to do anything more than believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as their payment for their sins, are we any different than the Judaizers? You see, that was a problem. It was a problem. And Paul says, listen, you ran well. You started off, maybe it was in faith, maybe it was in believing in who Jesus is, and what maybe it was in Bible study. I am running well because, as we'll see in a few minutes, the Christian life is not, it's not supposed to be a lifetime sitting down. Amen? Can you run if you're sitting down? Anybody? Well, you say, well, I can ride a bicycle sitting down. Yeah, you can. But to run in a race, and that's what the writer of Hebrews calls the race of faith, it is a race. And he talks about running. And so that running is how do we live out our daily lives? Are we doing it in a way that is honoring and pleasing to God? The Galatians were running well. And Paul commends them for that. He praises them for that. But then, in his very next breath on words, he says what? Who hindered you? That is not a, well, no one has any idea how this happened. It's what we call a rhetorical question, right? It's the question that we already know the answer to. Everybody knows the answer. These people, these church members, these believers who had placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then had these Judaizers that come along and say, you're only halfway there. But you got to do your part if you're going to be saved. Can you do anything that makes you more acceptable to God than you are right now? Can anybody? No. None of us can add one breath to our salvation. None of us can add one drop of blood to our salvation. It is what Jesus Christ has done and what he has done alone that saves us from our sins. And he simply says, believe in me and you'll be what? You see, people can try to mix stuff up. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, you ran well. Praise. Who hindered you? That's not a compliment, right? Because that is saying, listen, somebody came along just like your project, your yard cleanup, or whatever it may be. You were doing good, and then all of a sudden something happens. Somebody comes along and hinders you. Something comes along and hinders you from finishing the race that you were given. But let's look at the reality of this for just a moment. Because he tells us here in verse 8, he says, this persuasion does not come from him. Notice him is capitalized, so that means it comes from God. It does not come from God who calls you. In other words, for you to be saved, God has to call you to salvation. Amen? He has to call you to salvation. And when he does, you take that salvation that he gives as a free gift. Right? Can't earn it, because if I have to earn it, it's no longer a gift. Grace is a gift God gives to me. But listen here. How many of us in our daily Christian walk with God let Satan, because clearly Paul says in verse 8, this persuasion does not come from God. So if it does not come from God, who does it come from? It comes from Satan. This persuasion that God is not enough to save you, that Jesus' work on the cross was not enough to save you, that is not from God, because God tells us that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus' blood was the final payment. Jesus, in his sacrifice, cried out, it is finished. Everything done, everything paid for, you just simply must believe and receive. So, if any time we find that there's a someone or something that comes along and knocks us off course, that didn't come from God, okay? That didn't come from God. In my ministry, I've seen people get fired up for the Lord. They'll come to a revival service and God will do a work in their lives, and they'll give their hearts and lives to the Lord and surrender to maybe the ministry or whatever. I've seen teenagers go to Super Wow. Y'all ever been to Super Wow? They go to Super Wow, they get fired up for the Lord, they come back home, and guess who is standing there with a bucket of cold water? It might have been you. It might have been me. Why? these people come home, they're fired up for the Lord, but when somebody gets fired up for the Lord, that makes somebody else feel bad because they're not fired up for the Lord. And because your fire is bigger than their fire, guess what they want to do to your fire? Hear me out on this. Now, this is true. And every church, I won't say every church, 99% of churches have cold water committees. They're not written into the bylaws anywhere. But they tote buckets of water on them, ready to dump out and put out the flame, right? Their flame. They put out the flame because they don't want you fired up for the Lord, because if you're fired up for the Lord, you're shining God's light on them. And they don't want to be exposed. Because didn't Jesus say men love darkness rather than light, lest their deeds be exposed? Paul's saying this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. That person, that object that has tried to derail you is not from God. Do you know God wants you to run well? He wants you to finish well. He doesn't want you to be confused, as we'll talk about tonight. He doesn't want you to be confused. He doesn't want you to be tracked off in the wrong place. Can God use that to his honor and glory? Sure. But the best thing to do is not go down that road to begin with. Right? If you know you're going to get stuck, don't go down that road. Just go, stay on the hard road, right? Stay on the right path. Here Paul said, listen, it doesn't come from God. So we know, as I already said, if it doesn't come from God, then it comes from Satan. As I mentioned a minute ago, the writer of Hebrews calls our race of faith something God has called all believers to. And if you're in the race of faith, then there are things we need to watch out for, as the writer of Hebrews, and we're not going to go back and read that. But what the writer does tell us is that there are weights that slow us down. If you want to run fast, you don't strap an 80-pound backpack to your back and try to run a sprint, right? Because you're not going to get very far very fast. It slows you down. But the writer of Hebrew also tells us that those sins are the things that ensnare us. In other words, they're like a trap, and when you're stuck somewhere, you can't continue running very well. And he also talks about how we often get weak and tired in our race of faith. That can happen. But can I make a suggestion to us this morning? If we're running, and I know this because people can say, you know, I'm burnt out. How many of you have ever said, I'm burnt out? I'm burnt out. After we ate almost every service in the month of December, we're probably all saying, I'm burnt out eating, right? Let's take it. Let me make this suggestion. If we are burned out, and hear my heart on it, if you are burned out because you're trying to do it in your own strength and not in God's, you follow what I'm saying? I get being tired, I get being worn out, I get that you sometimes we can feel like we're overwhelmed. But if we're serving and we're doing it to serve the Lord, then we need to do it in the Lord's strength, not in our own. Because in my own strength, I'm going to get tired. In my own strength, I'm going to feel weak. In my own strength, I'm going to feel overwhelmed. But when I do it in Christ, then Christ is going to give me the strength that I need. Because he wants me to run well. He wants you to run well. And that's what we all need to do. Paul at the end of his ministry said, I have run the race. I've kept faith. Can we echo those same words in our lives? You see, Paul tells us in verse 9 that there's a problem in churches, and I say that there's problems in churches today. They can be all kinds of certain types of troubles. But there's problems in the church, and here again, Paul here is referencing to those people, those Judaizers who would come in and say, Christ is not enough. He did his part, now you got to finish the job, right? Basically, that's what they're saying. And so to listen to what Paul says in verse 9, he said, listen. He said, a little leaven levels the whole lump. What is leaven? Y'all help me out with my sermon. What is leaven? Yeast. How much yeast does it take to make the average loaf of bread rise? So some of y'all know it on top of your head. Good. It's about an 80 to 1 ratio. As you look up, about a quarter ounce package of yeast, depending on what type of bread you're going to make and everything, can make between 2.5 and I think 3.5 cups of plain flour rice. How much is a quarter ounce of yeast? Not much. What is Paul talking about here? He's not talking about making bread, right? He's not. I'm sorry. He's not telling him make bread. Paul is saying, listen, it only takes this much of a lie to destroy the truth. When you put one bad apple in a whole 55-gallon drum of good apples, what's going to happen to them 55 gallons of apples? They're going to turn rotten. If you got a bag of potato, there's one potato in that bag, what's he going to do to the rest of them? It's going to, and the same thing is true with the gospel. If you mix one dot of lie within the truth of the gospel, what happens to the gospel? It's no good. Because if I add any part of my works to my salvation, guess what? I'm not saved. Because I couldn't save myself before under the law, and I sure can't keep the law now, even after I'm saved. So it's not, according to me, it's about faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. While Paul is saying this, just a little bit of untruth destroys the whole truth. And you can't undo it. You can't separate. You have to realize that it is not by what I do, but what Christ has done. So what does that mean? It means that we need to be very careful about telling people, well, if you were really saved, you would do this or that. Now, hear me on this. I'm talking about salvation, right? Not after we are saved. When we are saved, Ephesians 2:8-9, that's not up there on the board. In verse 10 also, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. We are saved to do good works. We're not saved by good works. There's a big difference. It's a big difference. Paul said, listen, we can't mix. We cannot afford to mix a lie with a true gospel. We cannot do that because it leads to the gospel being ineffective. Paul is so concerned here in verse 10. He's concerned, but he said, listen, I have confidence in you. What was the confidence in that? He was going to have confidence in these people, hey, that you're going to come back to the true gospel. You're going to come back to the grace that saved you, because you're going to have to realize that the law could never save you to begin with. He said, I have confidence you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment. Paul's saying, listen. These people that have come in and hindered you from running well, they are going to bear the judgment of God on themselves. How concerned was Paul about this? He said, listen. He said, if I was preaching what they're preaching, y'all would gladly accept me. We've already talked about how Paul, in the last couple weeks, probably in the last month, he said, listen, y'all welcome me as this, if I was an angel from God or even Christ himself. But now you hate me. You've turned against me because I've told you the truth. And then he says, listen, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Have you ever noticed, this is good, have you ever noticed that when somebody tells the truth, people don't like it? If you don't believe it, how many of you have a really good friend? Anybody here have a really good friend? Do you want them to always tell you the truth? Oh, we might say yes, but it's like them commercials on TV where the woman comes out in this dress and she asks her husband, how does this make me look? Y'all get the picture, right? Is there any right answer? Y'all gonna stone me after this. The point I'm trying to make this is when it fits what we want them to tell the truth. But if we were headed in the wrong direction down a path, and maybe it's just a personal thing, and maybe if our friends, hey, listen, I think you made a mistake, would we really take that and treat that as that was a piece of advice out of love, not to hurt? Or would we say, well, I don't never do anything the way you want me to do it. You see, we often want to side with that makes us feel good, but that may rub us the wrong way. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. And Paul is saying, listen, when we are faced with the truth, listen to what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, when you are faced with the truth, we have two options. Number one, the best way we can reconcile ourselves to the truth. That's how we come to salvation. Because we hear that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, Jesus Christ our Savior. That is the truth. And so then I realize I am a sinner, and then I reconcile myself to know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I turn to that Savior. That is reconciling myself to the truth that is being told. But there's another option that we have, and it is simply this. When we are faced with the truth, some people, probably more than others, instead of reconciling themselves to the truth, they want to persecute the truth. Right? Because there's an old statement that goes like this. Truth does what? It hurts. Truth hurts. Truth hurts. And oftentimes we don't like the truth because it rubs us the wrong way. And instead of reconciling ourselves to the truth, we want to persecute the truth. Now, isn't that why they crucified Jesus? Because he wasn't telling a lie. What was he telling? He was telling the truth, but the truth rubbed people the wrong way. The truth offended people, and that's what the truth often does. It brings an offense against who we are and our lifestyles and what we want to do. I've often thought about this, and I knew I was raised in a Christian home, but I've often thought, man, if I was not already a believer, I would become a believer just because of the amount of persecution against the Church of Jesus Christ. Because they killed Jesus, right? That they hung him on the cross because he told the truth. When people tell the truth in foreign countries, and even here in the United States, people get upset, don't they? People are murdered because, even in plain daylight, because of their beliefs that there is one God, and you only come to Him by faith, not by many ways, not by your way, my way. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ Himself. So why would anybody want to do away with the truth? This is what Paul says there, last part of verse 11. He said, why do I still suffer persecution? If I preach what they preach, you know, nobody would be offended. But you know, if I'm telling a lie, why am I still suffering, right? But then he says, the offense of the cross has ceased. If he quits proclaiming that it is Christ and Christ alone, it's not Jesus plus anyone or anything. It is Jesus and Him alone that we are saved by faith. Nothing more and nothing less. I can't add to my salvation, and I cannot subtract anything from it. As I think about these words that Paul says, you know, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. What is Paul saying? He's saying this, and I wish that they would cease to exist because they're causing so much trouble within the church, within believers' lives, that they are defiling the gospel. They're keeping people from running well in their race of faith. And he says, I wish they could just simply cease to exist. But you know, if you're going to stand for the truth, you're going to have people that get upset with you. They're going to be offended by you. But that's okay. Because if we're not offended by the truth of the gospel, then maybe we're still in our sins. I thought about John 15, verses 18 and 19. Jesus, that's what he says. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world does what? Don't be surprised, in other words, when your co-workers, you're trying to share the gospel, they get mad at you, want to turn you in. So what? You don't think Jesus can handle the situation? Well, my family might be upset with me. So what? If you're not going to tell them the truth, then you're no better than those ones who come along and tell the lies and want to make everybody fit together. Let's just all get along, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. You see, we've all been given the responsibility. I said, if you're saved this morning, if you claim the name of Jesus Christ, you claim that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a specific duty to do within the church. Amen? Some of y'all are like, no. Listen to what Paul says. It says, and he himself gave some to be an apostle, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. What does edifying mean? To build it. The edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. That means mature, right? A perfect man can none of us occur. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of who? Of men. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in what? In love. May grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom The whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its what? Every part of the body. Who is the body of Christ? We are. If you're saved, you're a part of the body of Christ. You've been given a specific duty by God to do within the local body of church. And when everybody comes together and does their part, what's it going to do? Cause the body to grow. Not just spiritually, but numerically as well. Cause the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You say, well, I know the truth. Okay. I've accepted the truth. Okay. I believe the truth. Okay. I'm a member of the church. Okay. What has God called you to do? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you running your race of faith well? Or has somebody or something knocked you off track? Has somebody or something hindered you from running well? Matthew 28. We know this passage well. So, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a missionary. Yes, you are. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're to be a missionary to your world, right? Your circle of influence. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them. Who was the them? The disciples. If you're saved by Jesus Christ, you are a disciple, should be a disciple. Disciple means somebody being taught, somebody learning to be like their master, like their rabbi, their teacher. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Now, when it says go, it's really, if you go back and look at it, it says as you are going, right? As you're going throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month, whether you're at the job, at the grocery store, wherever you are, whoever you're around, you're to be what? Well, that's free. Go therefore and make what? Disciples of who? Just people like you? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus has given us all a commission. But we can be very much like the Galatians. We can be thrown off in our faith because we start believing lies and we start doubting the truth. And somehow we think that God only loves me because how much money I've got in my bank account or how good I look, how much I weigh, or how much I don't weigh. All these things we tend to measure from a human perspective. And we've got to learn to realize that that persuasion does not come from God. God loved you. God loved me. God loves every single person who's ever lived on this earth enough to say, listen, if you were the only person on earth, I would send my son Jesus Christ to save you. Do you realize that today? God loves you that much. Do we believe it? Are we living it out? You see, as we enter this new year, we must realize that Satan is doing everything in his power to hinder you, to hinder me. Because he doesn't want us to be successful. But God wants us to be successful. But to be successful, we have to know the truth. How do you know the truth? Know Jesus. Know his word. Spend time. Can I challenge this? It's not too late to start a new reading plan. I'll read Bible through in a year. That's a great goal, because I would almost imagine probably most of us here would say I've never read the Bible through from cover to cover. You can change that. You can know the truth by knowing God's word. You can know the truth by spending time in prayer. You can know the truth by putting yourself under the authority of God each and every day. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Are you trusting Him and what He has done? Are you trusting yourself and saying, I'm a good person, I'm going to get there? God doesn't lay on the curb. He doesn't grade that way. It's either His blood, His Son's blood, or nothing. Are you believing Him today? Are you believing the lie? Are you running well today? Or have you given up? Do you believe the lie or do you believe the truth? It's up to you. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, we pray, Lord, for you, everyone here today. Lord, for those who know you, they believed in you. Maybe at one time they were even running well. But Lord, somehow, some way, the lie of Satan has got mixed up with the truth. And Lord, we know the truth and lies don't mix. Lord, I pray for them. I pray, God, that, Lord, they would just return to you and trust you fully with the grace that you have given. But Lord, maybe there's one here today who's never placed their faith and trust in you, and today, oh, they would just simply come and say, Brother Tim, I need to know Jesus. I need to have a relationship with Him. Lord, whatever you've spoken to our hearts about today, oh, Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified in our obedience to your will. Lord, because that's where it all starts. Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives this morning. I pray in Jesus' name.